You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy start of a new week and second preseason game this evening. Of course, I did not have a show on Friday previewing the preseason as I had previously promised, as you may have seen on Twitter, and thank you to those of you who sent your well wishes and congratulations. My wife gave birth to our third on Friday, and so I kind of went down pretty quickly on Friday early in the day, and so I didn't have the opportunity to record a podcast and spent the weekend pretty much at the hospital, and now am back home and excited to watch Wolves basketball. Everything's going well. Everyone's healthy. Thank you again to everyone who sent their thoughts on Twitter. So back at it. We'll do five shows this week, Monday through Friday, daily. Of course, today, that means we'll talk. I want to talk a little about the game from Saturday night. And talk about how that went, my thoughts on the game. Typically, we'll do studs and duds for regular season games. I think mostly I just want to hit kind of some key points. Again, we don't want to read too much into anything from one preseason game necessarily, but I want to talk about that. And then also just a couple of notes related to upcoming schedule, things of that nature. And then John Hollinger, of course, of our Hollinger and Duncan podcast right here on the Locked On NBA Network, but also a fantastic writer for The Athletic, is doing his team previews, two previews per day leading into the season. And he did the Timberwolves preview over the weekend. I think it was published on Sunday. So I want to talk through my thoughts on Hollinger's thoughts on the Timberwolves and basically what his ultimate prediction for the season for Minnesota is. So a pretty packed show today. And then of course, tomorrow we'll be able to talk about Monday night's game and I guess Grizzlies Timberwolves part two, of course, also coming at Target Center and this weird, the series that the NBA is doing this year. So consecutive games against the same team in the same arena. But first, before we get into all that, a quick reminder that you can subscribe to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. So let's talk first, just a quick note. So game tonight, 7 o'clock, also broadcast. All Timberwolves preseason and regular season games are being broadcast this year by Fox Sports North. So should be able to watch that game here this evening live. And of course, we'll talk about it on Tuesday. Upcoming schedule, the Timberwolves have only one other preseason game after tonight, and that's against the Mavericks on Thursday evening at 7:30 in Dallas. So that's it for the preseason. And then they have 6 days with no games, 6 days off. I'm sure they'll practice most of those days leading into next Wednesday, the 23rd, the home opener and season opener against the Detroit Pistons. So that's the upcoming schedule. Two more Wolves games this week to talk about, and then into the real games next week. Also positive news. There's nobody on the injury report this evening or for tonight's game. So we should be able to see hopefully some Naz Reid minutes, and maybe we'll get to see him play with Karl-Anthony Towns a little bit. I'll get into what I'd like to see a little bit more of in tonight's game here in a minute. Once we kind of dive into the nuts and bolts of Saturday night's preseason opener. But knock on wood, I mean, and please do, as I speak, the Timberwolves are healthy right now, at least in terms of the injury report, and seem to come out of Saturday's preseason game no worse for the wear. So that's all positive. All right, let's jump into the Memphis game and some of the notes that I wrote down from Saturday's game against the Grizzlies. So I didn't actually get to watch this game live. I was in the hospital, and I guess, long story short, the broadband version, the online version of my League Pass somehow was not activated, so I couldn't watch it live, but I caught up on the DVR, which meant that I had the opportunity to, instead of reacting live on Twitter, et cetera, it was almost like a rewatch in that I had the ability to kind of stop and pay attention to some things that were going on instead of just watching and reacting as it was happening. And almost certainly, I have now overanalyzed the first preseason game, but that's I guess, where we're at. That's what happens when you don't have Timberwolves basketball for almost exactly 9 months. I think it was actually 9 months ago today when the NBA shut down. So Anyways, but the Timberwolves, of course, everybody knows the starting lineup this time around. They had Josh Okogie and Jake Lehman in the starting lineup, which meant Hernan Gomez came off the bench, Culver came off the bench, and actually Culver wasn't even in the first wave of subs. He didn't get into the game until the second quarter, and Ricky Rubio came off the bench as well. So the starting lineup was D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Josh Okogie, Jake Lehman, Karl Anthony Towns, and the way that the game got off to a start where the Wolves were making most of their threes, seemed to be flowing fairly well offensively, struggled a little bit defensively. Clearly what Ryan Saunders, and I want to talk about the rotation first before I get into individual players. Ryan Saunders is clearly trying to keep at least two plus defenders on the court at the same time, which generally should just be kind of a pretty good rule of thumb for a coach's rotations. But on a team that only has so many plus defenders, it's a little more difficult. And it's also not necessarily a strategy the Wolves have abided by in the past, including last season. So the starting lineup has Josh Okogie in it. Jake Lehman, I would not consider to be a plus defender, but he has the physical ability and size and really kind of basketball IQ on both ends of the court to be a plus defender and a plus contributor on both sides of the court. So the Wolves came into this thinking, okay, we've got enough offense with Russell, with Beasley, with Towns in the starting lineup. Lehman and Okogie will be our other starters. Then by the time the first wave of subs came into the game, you had Ricky Rubio and D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt together. Juancho Hernan Gomez comes into the game, Anthony Edwards, and a lot less defense in that unit. And actually, if you go back and watch, that's when the Wolves struggled most with their defensive rotations, especially with their pick and roll coverage, even with Towns on the court. Although I'll get into this in a second. I actually thought Towns was fairly good defensively in this game. But Anthony Edwards really struggled in terms of defensive rotations. He wasn't quite playing the pick and rolls right. You could tell he was a little bit indecisive on, you know, am I hedging? Am I dropping? How far do I drop? He had one play in particular on the baseline where he basically just didn't step up far enough, and whoever the Grizzlies player was basically went around him for a layup on the baseline. And it was, the Wolves played it right on the perimeter, but Edwards didn't play it right on the back end. And that was something that there was a lot of in this game. And then once Ed Davis came into the game, you had Rubio and Ed Davis on the court, two plus defenders. Russell, Juancho, and Edwards are all minus defenders at this point. Again, Edwards should have the skills and ability to be a plus defender, and Juancho theoretically should be okay. But clearly, Saunders was trying to keep two plus defenders on the court at all times and then enough offensive firepower. Because if you have a lineup with both Russell and Rubio in the backcourt and Edwards running on the wing, then you're good. You figure between Russell and Edwards and the shot, you know, playmaking ability of Rubio, the shot making ability from the perimeter with Juancho, you're going to have enough offense and your defense should be okay. But that unit actually struggled pretty mightily. In general, the defense played by the starting lineup was actually okay. I mean, certainly there were lapses. Certainly there were issues. That's to be expected in any game, much less the preseason opener. But I was actually okay with how the starting unit played defensively. Towns was really active. He seemed to be making the right decisions when it came to challenging shots as a help side defender and staying home, and was playing hard on the glass on both ends of the floor. I was actually pretty impressed with how Towns played defensively. D'Angelo Russell was bad defensively. I mean, he's pretty much always bad defensively. And unfortunately, I didn't really see anything different in this game, to be completely frank about it. I thought his defense was really bad. He didn't show enough effort getting around screens, which is par for the course for D'Angelo Russell. And he got beat a couple times on the dribble, off the dribble. He got beat backdoor a couple of times on cuts on the perimeter. There was one in particular that was, I think it was in the second half, that was really bad, where he just never turned his head and John Morant hit a wide open cutter for a layup or a dunk. I think it was a dunk. And just poor defense. Beasley started out terrible defensively. Malik Beasley was awful defensively, got beat off the dribble a couple of times again, just didn't get low enough, didn't move his feet. The Wolves actually put him on John Morant when he was on the court with D'Angelo Russell, and Morant was beating him around the corner, or turning the corner on him, basically almost every time on the court, it seemed like. And then there was a shot, and who knows, this feels like what would be the turning point if this were if they made a sports movie out of a preseason game, maybe. But David Vanterpool, there's a shot on Fox Sports North broadcast of Vanterpool talking to Beasley after one of the plays where Beasley got beat. And honestly, from that point forward, he was actually pretty good defensively. Beasley was playing hard. He was shadowing his guy. He made a couple of really good plays. He was rebounding the ball really hard, crashed into Towns a couple of times, trying to come in and get a defensive board, which is the type of aggression we're not used to seeing out of Beasley when it comes to rebounding the ball. He's a little undersized for what the Wolves are trying to do. And he needs to rebound his position extremely well this year. And he showed flashes of that in this game and honestly was pretty good defensively. At some point, it was like midway through the second quarter when that conversation happened with Vanterpool that you could see on the broadcast. And from that point forward, he was actually pretty good defensively. And I was impressed with that kind of, flip. All right. I want to talk about some individual performances here in a second. And that'll be the next thing we cover before we get into John Hollinger's Timberwolves preview. All right, a reminder that coming up later this week, tomorrow, of course, we'll recap and talk through the high points, low points from Timberwolves Grizzlies on Monday night. We'll also preview the Mavericks matchup later this week. That game's on Thursday night. And talk about what we've learned basically from these first two preseason games, once the second one's played, about the rotation lineups. You know, obviously just gave my reaction on the early returns from the rotation, but what's that going to look like two games in and you know, who's going to make this roster? Is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson going to be on the roster? Is Jalen Noel going to get rotation minutes? We'll talk more about him in a minute. So plenty to talk about as we're now 9 days away from the actual season or the regular season opener. All right, so let's talk about some individual performances from this game. I mentioned Beasley's defense actually kind of coming around. He also started the game really slow offensively, clanked a couple of jumpers, made some poor decisions. And then around the time his defense started to turn around, it's almost like a switch flipped and he suddenly was playing hard on both ends of the floor. And obviously you'd rather not have to have a switch flip, but all guys kind of have, you know, they have moments where all of a sudden they're back in it. And Beasley had a couple of really nice assists. Actually, I think both were to Jake Lehman in the second quarter, kind of late second quarter as the Wolves were making things close. The Grizzlies had pulled away a little, you know, early in the second quarter, something like that. And all of a sudden, Beasley was everywhere. He was rebounding the ball, had a couple of nice passes, actually created shots for teammates. And in plays that were generally play sets called for Beasley, he made the choice to pass out of what would have been a difficult shot. He hit Jake Lehman for a three at one point. He hit a cutter. And it was really, really a nice kind of turn for Beasley. He only made, I think, one three in the game. I guess I could pull up the box score quick, but I believe he only had the one made three in the game. There were some shots he typically would make that just didn't fall. And that's obviously not something to be too concerned about after one game. Beasley was 2 for 6 on threes, 4 for 11 overall from the floor, and had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, but 5 rebounds in 23 minutes and squeezing the trigger 6 times from deep is, I think, what we can expect from Beasley. But the rebounding was a pleasant surprise. The players that had poor games, this was pretty easy to point out. Josh Okogie had a really rough go of things. He didn't score till the fourth quarter. He had 2 points, only attempted one shot, but he had 3 turnovers in 19 minutes. And I think all three were in the first half. He had a couple of really bad fast breaks where he had the ball in his hands, didn't know where he was going, clanked a couple of free throws in this game, had 6 rebounds. He was actually a plus 10 on the game, which doesn't mean a ton. And especially in a preseason game. But he, the plus 10 does not tell the story. He just struggled. He was pretty good defensively, but the offensive issues were very real. And I mean, frankly, he's got to improve, at least be willing and able to knock down to shoot and knock down a 3-pointer if he's going to stay in the rotation with all these sudden wing depth. I mean, if Jalen Noel's for real, again, one preseason game, but we all know he can shoot the ball despite his struggles at the NBA level last year, shooting the three. You know, if he could score, if he could be a 40% 3-point shooter off the bench to play passable defense on a team like this that plays as fast as they do, you know, you could see this team giving some minutes to him. And, you know, Josh Okogie's going to have to fight to keep minutes if he struggles like he did in this preseason opener. So he had a bad game. Hernan Gomez didn't start and he really struggled off the bench. 17 minutes, he was 2 for 10 shooting, missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts, had 8.6 rebounds, but he was a minus 16, which tied for the second worst mark on the team, and really struggled defensively. He got beat off the dribble a couple of times. He was very late on rotations, was beat to the rim multiple times in this game, had guys making 3-pointers over him because he was contesting shots late. That was an issue. I don't know if it's just first game, a little sluggish coming off the bench. He's maybe not used to, well, I mean, I guess he did it for his, basically most of his Nuggets career, but, you know, I think he probably expected to be a starter and maybe will be, who knows. But it was just a bad game for Juancho, and hopefully it's not a sign of things to come and his defense improves. You know, it's going to be an issue if his lateral quickness is what he showed that it was on Saturday. To try and defend with him on the floor is going to be difficult. I do think he's better than how he played. Again, one game, but he did not have a good outing. Malik Beasley, I already talked about, had a really roller coaster type of a game. Started really slowly, finished strong, and overall it was just an okay game for him. Same for D'Angelo Russell. He had 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 turnovers in 23 minutes, shot 3 of 8, made 2 3-pointers on 3 attempts, and was generally good, but his defense was terrible. The offense was mostly okay. Had a couple, both of his turnovers were actually pretty bad, but overall had a decent game. They just need more out of him defensively. Put simply, same with Karl Anthony Towns. I actually thought defensively, though, he was good. He just couldn't get a shot to fall. Otherwise, he played really well. He had 13 and 8 in 22 minutes. He shot just 4 of 13, but he missed all 5 of his 3-point attempts. So he was 4 of 8 inside the arc and had the 8 rebounds in 22 minutes, 3 blocks. He did have 3 turnovers and 5 fouls. Fouling hasn't been as big of an issue for Towns in recent years as it was early in his career. But I mean, I guess chalk that up to defensive aggression. He was actually playing really hard in this game defensively, and I thought made pretty good decisions in terms of help side, bringing help side defense and shot blocking. In the pick and roll, he was mostly good. There were a couple of bad plays early, but generally speaking, he looked better defensively, both in the pick and roll and as a paint protector, than he did last season. Again, one game, all those caveats obviously apply, preseason, all that good stuff, but mostly positive returns on Cat. And the 3-point shot obviously is going to fall. They were all good shot attempts. He wasn't forcing it. He didn't get too frustrated. Like 3 of the 5 were in and out type shots. So no concerns there, but overall good game for him. The best players on the floor for the Timberwolves, though, Jake Layman had 10 points on 4 of 7 shooting, made both of his 3-point attempts, 2 rebounds, 2 steals, an assist, a block, no turnovers, a team best plus 11 in 20 minutes. Mostly was on the court with starters and guys like, I think he played a little 3 with, I'll pay attention to that in Monday's game, but I think he played a little 3 with Hernan Gomez in the second half. He played really well with Malik Beasley and is kind of a good, kind of a lanky athletic complement to what Beasley can do offensively. And you know, if he can knock down spot up 3-pointers, which he's been inconsistent in his career, very streaky. But if he can do that with some consistency, he's going to be a really nice player for the Wolves this year. And I think continues to kind of be not underappreciated, but you know, nobody's really talking about Jake Layman. And here he is starting at the 4 for the Timberwolves in the preseason opener. So I thought he overall had a really good game. And then the obvious one was Jalen Noel. Fourth quarter mostly. He came in at the end of the third quarter. He was lights out. He had 22 points in 13 minutes on 11 shots, 7 of 11 shooting, 4 of 7 from the 3-point line. He only made 4 of his 7 free throw attempts. He didn't do anything else. He had 1 rebound, no other counting stats, no assists, no steals, no blocks, and just the 1 rebound in 13 minutes. So you'd like to see him get more active in other areas of the game. He was clearly looking for his own shot on offense, but there was only really 1 or 2 shots that felt forced where he maybe should have dished to a teammate. For the most part, he was taking what the defense gave him and they were giving him a lot of space. We all know he shot well over 40%, I think 42 or so percent in the G League last year for the Iowa Wolves, but shot like 11% in the NBA with the Timberwolves last year in obviously limited action. But he saw some time in February and March down the stretch in the season, the truncated season. And if Noel can shoot 40%+ and handle the ball a little, he was actually playing point guard for a little while. Between him and Jarrett Culver, they were kind of alternating possessions until two-way player Ashton Haggins came in the game at the very end. But Noel was initiating offense, and if he can do that and kind of be a de facto third point guard for this team, they may give him that chance where if Rubio or Russell's in foul trouble or something like that, he may get the opportunity to come in and operate the second unit. And if that's the case, and he can shoot 40% on threes, I mean, there's a lot to be said for his upside. Remember, he was the Pac-12 player of the year just a couple of years ago. He's supposed to be a 40% type shooter from three. The question is, can he be good enough defensively and can he, fight through contact, score at the rim, do some of those other things? And obviously, he has to actually make his shots. He didn't do that at the NBA level last year. So the Wolves, obviously, there's a reason they drafted him in the second round and gave him some guaranteed money. And I do think he could play a role on this team this year. And he's going to be kind of that next man up. He's right behind Okogie, Layman, Beasley, Culver, in that wing rotation. There's really nobody else except for those minutes that Russell and Rubio played together. Jalen Noel's the next guy up. I guess Anthony Edwards. I haven't even really talked about Edwards. But a good game for Noel. One last note on the game, and that's Edwards. Up and down for him. He started stronger than he finished. He forced some things in the second half, forced a couple threes, took a ran himself into a charge. He had 3 turnovers in 26 minutes. He played a team high 26 minutes, 5 points on 2 of 9 shooting, only 1 of 5 beyond the arc, 4 rebounds, 3 turnovers, and 5 fouls in 26 minutes. He clearly played much better when he was part of, you know, one of the top units in the first half. When he came in, he was part of that first wave off the bench with Ricky Rubio. Played much better as part of that group than he did with the other rookies and second year guys in the second half when he felt like he needed to do more. When he wasn't forcing shots, he looked like he kind of knew where he needed to be. I mentioned his defensive struggles early in the pod. He had a couple of good, deflections on defense. There was one play in particular where he saw the skip pass coming, got out, and made a deflection. But there were some awareness issues defensively, some positioning issues. Generally speaking, not a great debut for Edwards, but all previously noted caveats apply about this being the first preseason game and his first game as a NBA player and all that stuff. So, looking forward to see how he bounces back on Monday evening and also throughout the rest of the preseason, first part of the regular season, and what kind of role he can carve out and earn those minutes, which, you know, if Noel plays like he did on Saturday, there's going to be minutes that need to be earned moving forward for all these guys on the wing. So, that'll be something to look forward to. All right, let's move into talking about John Hollinger's season preview for the Timberwolves, which is really intriguing. So we'll get into that here next. Before we do, though, let's talk about our awesome friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. It tastes exactly, and I mean exactly, like a candy bar. There are 18 amazing flavors. There were 12 original flavors already. Built Bar has introduced 6 brand new delicious flavors. Those flavors are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and Apple Almond Crisp. Again, a protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, trying to lose weight, or maybe maintain your weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are all low calorie, low sugar, high in protein and fiber, and perfect if you're on a keto diet. Right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code locked on for 20% off at builtbar.com. All right, let's talk about the Athletic's John Hollinger's NBA season preview and the Timberwolves preview specifically. But first, NBA fans, listen up. The Locked On NBA podcast is getting you ready for the start of the regular season with a special week of team preview podcasts all week long, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball and rookies to watch from draft guru Chad Ford. I'll be tuning in myself to the preview of, you know it, the Minnesota Timberwolves, featuring yours truly later on this week. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast. And speaking of the Locked On NBA Network, of course, the fantastic Hollinger and Duncan NBA show is on the Locked On NBA Network. So subscribe to that if you have not. And our great friend John Hollinger, of course, the former VP of basketball operations for the Memphis Grizzlies, is also writing at The Athletic, in addition to being on the Hollinger and Duncan podcast. And he's releasing 2 team previews per day right now over at The Athletic. And the Timberwolves were released on Sunday. It's really an impressive, kind of comprehensive breakdown, about as good as you're going to find. And Hollinger goes through the entire offseason, gives his take on all the different moves that each team made, which I'll talk about his take on the Wolves here in a second. He does a lineup projection based on a few different advanced metrics. He also talks about some burning questions and has an outlook and an actual record prediction, which we'll get to in a second as well. First, on the offseason moves, he is pretty mixed on how he feels the Wolves did this offseason. For instance, he thinks the Wolves, and he's not wrong in this, basically the Wolves, in trading down and then back up, traded the 17 and the 33 to get the 23 and the 28. So basically, they only picked up 1 total spot, right? They moved from 17 to 23, down 6 spots, and then up from 33 to 28, up 5 spots, which isn't great asset management. But he loves the move they made to trade James Johnson in the pick into Ricky Rubio. He says it's a clear win, is how he puts it. All they did was give up a second round pick to turn Johnson into Rubio. And in Hollinger's words, Rubio is, quote, the league's best backup point guard and a valuable trade chip this year next, at worst. Because obviously, if the fit with Russell turns out to be great and they play together a lot and Rubio continues to shoot the ball well from beyond the arc, then that's a steal of a trade. He does not like their cap management because the Wolves are already only $3.7 million away from next year's luxury tax. He doesn't like the Ed Davis trade for what he's making and what they had to give up to get Davis. He doesn't like that Jared Vanderbilt's contract is guaranteed. Obviously, the Wolves, the Wolves see something in Jared Vanderbilt, and I understand why, but they wanted to keep Jared Vanderbilt around, and it appears that they will. He also, though, does call Hollis Jefferson the best value signing of the entire offseason for any team, and he seems to think that the Wolves will ultimately sign Jordan McLaughlin to their second two-way spot, which is true, but they also still have a guaranteed roster spot available. In my opinion, that probably goes to Hollis Jefferson, and if McLaughlin doesn't end up anywhere else, I'm sure he would end up coming back to Minnesota on the two-way deal, which isn't ideal for him, obviously, but the Wolves would love to have him, clearly. In terms of the lineup, he basically just breaks it down. He has a rank for each player at each position based on a couple different metrics that he uses. He answers questions about the Townsend-Russell duo and calls it, you know, a skeleton of a top 10 offense that they just need to fill in support roles. The question about defense, which we already know, he raises concerns about Anthony Edwards being Wiggins 2.0, which is something that I've talked about for, I don't know, the better part of the last 7 months now. And Hollinger clearly has felt similarly. He had LaMelo Ball as the top overall rated pick in this draft. His outlook and prediction, I'll read a little bit of what he says here. Hollinger says, quote, despite some of the odd gymnastics of this offseason, the Wolves are set to have a pretty decent team. Start with Towns, who has become one of the league's most underrated players. Yes, his defense needs work, but offensively, he's an incredible force who can pick and pop you to death, beat you on the block, or mash you on the offensive boards. Pairing him with a true pick and roll partner in Russell provides some definition for this offense. It means Minnesota's fairly limited weapons at the 2, 3, and 4 won't have to take on roles beyond their means. I mean, 100%, he's right. Towns is now suddenly maligned because he had, I guess he couldn't drag this team anywhere when he played last year, despite his nagging injuries. I don't really understand. I mean, clearly his defense is an issue, but when he was all NBA third team 2 years ago, two-time All-Star already, and suddenly people are talking about him as barely a top 25 player. And Hollinger's right. I mean, if he could be passable defensively, you're looking at clearly a top 10 player in the league. He then goes on to talk about how basically one of Russell, Edwards, Beasley needs to kind of outperform expectations. They've got a bunch of guys in their early 20s with a decent chance of a breakout. The bench should have Rubio and Hollis Jefferson. He doesn't think much of Ed Davis, so he thinks the center, backup center, is an issue. But Rubio and Hollis Jefferson are two very good defenders, and in my opinion, so is Ed Davis at this point still in his career, giving you three veteran defenders off the bench. And then he says his prediction is, this is actually pretty in line with what I was saying last week about my general thought about where the season's going. Hollinger says, this is a direct quote, a top 8 seed is a stretch, but reaching the play-in and winning half their games is a reasonable goal. Certainly there's no excuse for any double-digit losing streaks this time around. Of course, the Wolves had two of those last year. So he predicts them to go 36-36, be 10th in the West, and make the play-in game against the 9 seed. Of course, the winner of that game would then play the winner of the 7-8 game the loser of the 7-8 game for the right to for the 8th seed. So the Wolves would then need to win 2 play-in games in order to actually make the 8-team playoff field. But I think Wolves fans would take that. It clearly is not what the Wolves would like. They'd like to be better than that this year. But as Gerson Rosas said, the roster's not done, and there's obviously a lot of pieces that kind of need massaging to make sure that they work together well. So this analysis to me seems pretty spot on. It's very close to what I've been saying about this team and about this roster, that I think you're looking at a team that probably should be a little better than a 500 mark, in my opinion. And, given just how good Towns is and the upside of the Towns and Russell pairing, enough shooting on this team, enough veteran defenders off the bench, I don't think it's crazy to say that the floor of this team should be right around that 500 mark, the 9-10 spot in the West. And there's a ton of upside because, as Hollinger points out, the youth of the roster, yet some relative experience as well. I mean, Edwards is the only guy, I guess it depends on how many minutes Culver gets, but you're looking at one or two guys at max that are second year players receiving heavy rotation minutes. This is suddenly an experienced team, but yet a team where the majority of the players are in their early to mid 20s. And they're all kind of in that Towns Russell window, which is something that was very intentional for Rosas in the front office as they put this roster together. So head on over to The Athletic. If you have a subscription, check out the Hollinger preview. He does a great job on all of them. Take a spin around, read as many as you can, and get a good feel for the Wolves competition in the West and the league as a whole, as we're now like a week away from actual NBA basketball. So that's all we have for you on the show today. Enjoy the game this evening against Memphis, part 2 of this preseason series. The Timberwolves should have a full complement of players. We'll keep an eye on rotations. That's kind of the key thing to watch out for, as always in the preseason, but tonight especially after seeing what Saunders did on Saturday night, what the Wolves rotations will look like. if we could get a little bit more defensively out of D'Angelo Russell, if we can get a little more consistency out of some of the rest of the Wolves players on offense. But we'll talk about this about Monday night's game on Tuesday's show and then look ahead to Thursday against the Dallas Mavericks. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Also, a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.